This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد اليوم 23 من شهر شعبان 1445 الموافق لأربعة من شهر مارس 2024 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك الداء والدواء أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped last time. I guess we supposed to we stopped at the saying of the مؤلف وكيف لا تحب القلوب من لا يأتي بالحسنات إلا هو. So he talks about the reason why naturally the hearts love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why isn't that possible, knowing that it is a fact that there is no good that reaches a human being except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody takes away the sayyi'at, nobody takes away the worries and the stress and depression except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's the only one who is looking for you to come and ask him about your need, to tell him what do you need. You know, he sent his messengers and you're not willing to respond to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come by himself looking for you. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in the last part of the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every night comes down to the lowest part of the heavens and say the following: who is willing to ask me for something, I will definitely give him. And who is looking for forgiveness, I will forgive him. And who is going to call me, I will respond to his call. Yeah. So this is what Ibn Qayyim was referring to earlier. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his messengers, he sent the book, he sent the letters, but you're not willing to respond. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes by himself looking for you. SubhanAllah. Nobody loves you like this, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibn Qayyim says, how is it possible for a heart not to love this one? Yeah. How is it possible? قَالَ فَهُوَ أَحَقُّ مَنْ ذُكِرْ وَأَحَقُّ مَنْ شِكِرْ وَأَحَقُّ مَنْ عُبِدْ وَأَحَقُّ مَنْ حُمِدْ وَأَبْصَرُ مَنْ ابْتَغِي وَأَرْأَفُ مَنْ مَلَكْ وَأَجْوَدُ مَنْ سُئِلْ وَأَوْسَعُ مَنْ أَعْطَى وَأَرْحَمُ مَنْ اسْتُرْحِمْ وَأَكْرَمُ مَنْ قُصِدْ وَأَعَزُّ مَنْ اُلْتُجِئَ إِلَيْهِ وَأَكْفَى مَنْ تَوَكَّلَ الْعَبْدُ عَلَيْهِ وَأَرْحَمُ بِعَبْدِهِ مِنَ الْوَالِدَةِ بِوَلَدِهَا وَأَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ التَّائِبِ مِنَ الْفَائِتِ مِنَ الْفَاقِدِ لِرَاحِلَتِهِ الَّتِي عَلَيْهَا طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمُهْلِكَةِ الْأَرْضِ الْمُهْلِكَةِ أَوْ الْمَهْلَكَةِ إِذَا يَئِسَ مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ ثُمَّ وَجَدَهَا. Ibn Qayyim says the most deserving one that deserves your shukr is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the one that deserves your remembrance more than anybody else. And nobody you worship better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only one who deserves to be worshipped. And the only one who deserves to be praised. And the only one that you are looking for, and he knows about you. And every single details about you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware and cares about you. The most merciful to those whom he owns, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is he owns everything, but he is the most gentle and merciful to everyone. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most generous, you know, to those who are asking him. You know, there is nobody who is more generous than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَوْسَعُ مَنْ أَعْطَى. And if you're looking for somebody who has everything, the greatest in terms of what he has, you know, he has everything. You know, أَوْسَعُ means what he has is so vast and so big. There is nobody like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will never find somebody who shows mercy to anyone more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will never find somebody that everyone is heading towards him that is more generous than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will never find somebody stronger, you know, than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of protection. In any sense, you know. So تَلْتَجِئُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. You resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you seek a refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is nobody that you can get that refuge and protection more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best that you have your tawakkul on him. Yeah? Wa akfa is the one that is enough for anyone who depends on him. You will never find somebody who provides you with all of your needs better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, assalamu alaikum. If you can move so that assistants can have space. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
So, Allah's mercy is greater, you know, than the mercy of the walida bi waladiha. Walida is the mother, you know. You cannot imagine how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put of mercy to the child in the heart of the mother. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is far greater than this one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you repent, He's so happy, much happier than you, you know, subhanAllah. You are the one who should be happy and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He's the one who is begging you to repent so that you will not be punished by Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you repent, He is happy so much, and His happiness is greater than the happiness of somebody who is traveling in a desert, and he lost his camel, and the camel has all of his food and his drinks. You know, his water is in that on that camel, and the food also on the camel. And then he decided to take rest. When he slept, he woke up, he couldn't find the camel. It goes with the food and the water. What does that mean? Death. Yeah, because those places, these are the places of death. So that's why you have the Arab doing the tafa'ul. They call a desert mafaza, mafawiz. What is mafaza? Makan al-fawz, the place where you succeed. They're doing tafa'ul, being optimistic. Why? Because usually people die in that place. So they are trying to be optimistic, and they will say, dakhala al-mafawiz, the places of success. Just like the way when you are sick, Arabs, they call you salim. Salim means a healthy person. Yeah, but these are all tafa'ul. Al-rajl al-salim, the person who is healthy. Maybe you're about to die, but they call you healthy. Yeah, that's tafa'ul. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yuhibbu tafa'ul. This is one of the good attitudes and manners that were practiced since in Jahiliyyah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciate them and conforms that. Kana yuhibbu tafa'ul. He doesn't like tashaul. He loves to see people being optimistic. Pessimism doesn't have place, you know. You walk on what appears to you and be optimistic. So the animal left with his food and drinks. So, and this man is in Al-Ard Al-Muhlika. It works, I guess. Yeah. But you cover my book. So, when he woke up, he couldn't find the camel. And so he realized that he's going to die. He tried to search for it, he couldn't get it, so he came back to the place where he was before, and he slept again. By the time he woke up, alhamdulillah, he found the camel back to him. So he was so happy in the way, rather than saying, alhamdulillah, Allahumma, ana abduk wa anta rabbi. He messed up everything. He said, Allahumma anta abdi wa ana rabbuk. He says, Ya Allah, you're my slave and I'm your Lord. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, akhta'a min shiddatil farah. He made a mistake out of strong happiness, you know. Yeah, these type of people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to hold him responsible for that statement because he doesn't know. He was out of his consciousness. So subhanAllah, you can imagine how much, you know, happy was this person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that Allah is happier when you repent than this one. You get idea. You cannot imagine how much happy was he, you know, to make this mistake, you know. Very big mistake. To call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his slave. But he did not know. He was so happy trying to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he messed up everything. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much happier than a slave. I have seen something not similar to this happened to one of the brothers. I think his road tax finished. He was tagged by the police. So the police questioned him and they decided to let him go. So he was so happy, thanking the police. So he moved the car and there was a police next to him. So he hit that other one. So out of happiness, he did not even have conscience, he hit the second one. So now they call him back for the new case. SubhanAllah. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen. Ibn Qayyim says, he is more happier than that person when you repented to him. So this passage is just trying to tell you that nobody loves you more than Allah. Iwallah. There is nobody in this life that loves you more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole idea of the Sharia and the revelations and the sending of the prophets and the books is all about how to save you from going to hell and how to grant you success in this life, how to aid you, how to help you. But unfortunately, not everyone sees this. Yeah, that's why Ibn Qayyim had to explain to you like this, go into these details. You remember you were looking for this? You got it? The one who gave is Allah. You remember you are in a state of depression? The one who will remove your stress and depression is Allah. Therefore, try to do your best to please Him alone. وهو الملك لا شريك له والفرد فلا ند له كل شيء هالك إلا وجهه لن يطاع إلا بإذنه ولن يوصى إلا بعلمه يطاع فيشكر وبتوفيقه ونعمته أطيع ويعصى فيغفر سبحان الله ويعفو وحقه أضيع سبحان الله فهو أقرب شهيد وأجل حفيظ وأوفى بالعهد وأعدل قائم بالقسط حال دون النفوس وأخذ بالنواصي وكتب الآثار ونسخ الآجال فالقلوب له مفضية والسر عنده علانية والغيب لديه مكشوف وكل أحد إليه ملهوف عانت الوجوه لوجهه وعجزت العقول عن إدراك كنه ودلت الفطر والأدلة كلها على امتناء مثله وشبهه وأشرقت لنور وجهه الظلمات واستنارت له الأرض والسماوات وصلحت عليه جميع المخلوقات لا ينام ولا ينبغي له أن ينام يخفض القسط ويرفعه يرفع إليه عمل الليل قبل عمل النهار وعمل النهار قبل عمل الليل حجابه النور لو كشفه لأحرقت سبحات وجهه ما انتهى إليه بصره من خلقه سبحان الله ما تاض باذل حبه لسواه من عوض ولو ملك الوجود بأسره يقول ابن القيم الله سبحانه وتعالى is الملك the one that has no partner and he is the only one the one that doesn't have sharik and everything is going to perish there will be a time when there will be no nothing will exist except the face of Allah سبحانه وتعالى The face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is establishment of the wajh lillah azza wa jal. And this is also the lead, you know, that not just establishing the wajh, establishing that lillah azza wa jal at the same time. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that. Not in the way that mutafalsifun and those who rejected the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describe him. So everything will perish and finish except Allah. Just like the way that there used to be a time when there was nobody except Allah, and there is going to be a time also nobody exists except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is gone. You see, some people are obeying Allah, they're doing that with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You Allah is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are able to obey Him. Yeah, if Allah doesn't grant you this ni'mah, you will never be able to do that. How many people are there, they couldn't repent? Not because they don't see the truth, they see it. To open their mouth and say it and to follow it wasn't easy for them. Tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, anyone who is committing sin, Allah knows exactly what is going on. لا يكون في ملكه إلا ما يريد. There is no way for you to have in the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to see. So don't forget, we're not saying doesn't love. except that which Allah SWT wants it to happen.
In other words, Allah let it happen.
You cannot have something existing in the kingdom of Allah and everything belongs to Him, except that which Allah SWT let happen. He loves it, He doesn't love it, He let it happen. وَلُوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if He wants, those people will never fight. He said, those people will never fight. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the doer of whatever He wishes. Ali bin Abi Talib and Muawiyah and the Jayshain, they fought each other. Is it something that Allah loves? No, Allah hates it. But it happened. Why did that happen? Wallahu fa'alun lima yudid. It's something that Allah SWT decreed that is going to happen for wisdom. And it took place precisely in the way Allah SWT wanted to see it happening. Walakin Allah fa'alu ma yudid. So, when you see somebody obeying Allah, disobeying Allah, is based on the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, it's so strange. And he's the only one who is like this, that يُعُسَى فَيُغْفَرُ. You disobey him and he forgives. And he tells you, come back. No matter how much great it you sin, just come. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. قَالَ وَيَعْفُوا وَحَقُّهُ أُذِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and overlook at a time when his right has been neglected. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need anyone. But at the same time, you obey him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates that. Subhanallah. He doesn't need that. But when you do, he appreciates. So only because of the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people obey him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the closest one to everyone. Nobody is closer than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. And it's the best and the greatest protector. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never find somebody who fulfills the ahd more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody is more just than Allah. Allah loves justice. And He's qa'imun bil qist. He's the one that separates, that stands between the nufus. Allah subhanallah. And Allah SWT is the one that everyone is under His control. الَّذِي يَأْخُذُ بِالنَّوَاسِي. Allah SWT writes every single thing that a person is doing. Whatsoever, right, wrong, Allah SWT documents everything. And Allah SWT is the one who wrote down the ajal. Nobody will skip the ajal that Allah SWT nasakhahu lahu. And every heart is back to Allah SWT. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that there is no secret with Allah. Yeah, what is going on out of this place, I don't know. You don't know, we don't know, you know. But Allah knows. There is nothing that can be hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever you call ghaib is shahada. Shahada is the opposite of the ghaib. Whatever you call ghaib, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shahada. To you is ghaib, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shahada. And every single creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in need. And the faces of the creation on the day of judgment are going to be submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَنَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّوبِ وَأَشْرَقَتْ لِنُورِهِ وَعَجَزَتِ الْعُقُولُ أَنْ إِدْرَاكَ كُنْهِهِ. There is no aql, there is no eyes, no aql, no knowledge that can reach, that can encompass, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that can claim that he knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from A to Z. Nobody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٌ وَالْبَحْرُ يَمُدُّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ سَبْعَةُ أَبْحُرٍ مَا نَفِدَتْ كَلِمَاتُ اللَّهِ. If you have every water on the earth, the oceans, you know, you convert them into an ink, you know, and the shajara, the trees, you turn them into pens. You know, you want to write things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ink will finish, the pens will get dry, and still
You're still right. They will never finish. Allah says, manifidat kalimatullah. Issues that are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have no end. They don't end. That's the meaning of la tudrikul afsar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, eyes cannot reach, you know, the Prophet's knowledge about him. To say that you know everything about Allah, no eyes can know this. And no basira, no aql can understand this. Completely. You understand a lot. You keep learning. It will never end. No matter how much you learn, it is still little, very little about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayah is used by some people to mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be seen. La tudrikul afsar. But this is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say al-afsar la tanzur ilayhi. Allah did not say he cannot be seen. The same goes to the word lan tarani. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa, lan tarani. You will not see me. But Allah did not say I cannot be seen. He said you will not see me. Meaning, at this moment you will not see me because you don't have the capacity to see. But on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant people ability to see him. Wujuhun yawma idhin nadhira ila rabbiha nadhira. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the ru'ya that Muslims will be seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in yaj'alna min imman yanzuruna ilayhi yawm al-qiyamah. So he's the only one who gives light to the darkness. And the heavens and the earth are getting that light from Allah. The source of light is Allah. Allahu nuru samawat wal ard. And all of the affairs of the makhluqat that were fixed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who fixed it. Yeah. They are fixed because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's intervention. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari described Allah, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَمْ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَمْ. Allah doesn't sleep and it is inappropriate for him to sleep. قيوم السماوات والأرض is the one who takes care of the heavens and the earth. Yeah, how can he sleep? You know? And even without this, you know, because sleep is weakness, right? The result of fatigue and weariness and physical weaknesses, you collapse and sleep. Allah doesn't get affected by any weaknesses. Any weakness. خَلَقَنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. مَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. Fatigue and weariness never affect us. To refute the Jews, right? Who says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rested on Saturday. قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't sleep. يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّهُ مِنْ هُوَ فِي شَأْنِ. يَخْفِضُ الْقِسْطَ وَيَرْفَعُهُ. Allah is the one who is raising up the mawazin of some people and bring down the mizan of others. On the day of judgment, some of the mawazin will be heavy and some of them will be so light. Who is doing this? رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Because of our behavior. Because of our behaviors and attitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making this to influence the scale. Going up or down. Some scholars said يَخْفِضُ الْقِسْطَ وَيَرْفَعُهُ is referring to Allah is the one who is raising some people in ranking, elevating them in ranking in this dunya. You see a person who is coming from a house which is having very low root. You know, they're not rich, they're not important in the community, but somebody will be extracted from them who will raise up that family, you know, bring them up. Most of the scholars, their parents are not known. Yeah, but that house, subhanAllah, became respected by everyone because of the child. Al-ilmu yarfa'u baytan la asasa lahu wal-jahlu yahdimu bayt al-izzi wal-karami. The poet says, knowledge brought up houses that don't have, you know, foundation at the first place. Wal-jahlu yarfa'u bayt al-izzi wal-karami. Houses of izz and honor, ignorance brings them down. So one of the worst behavior and attribute that somebody can have is ignorance. Yeah. Ignorance is the source of all sins. Yeah, including shirk. Everything you're doing, ignorance is the source of all sins. يرفع إليه عمل الليل قبل عمل النهار. The deed we do in the night, they will be taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the one that you do in the daytime. وعمل النهار قبل عمل. And the one that you did in the daytime will be taken to him before the night one comes. حجابه النور. The hijab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is light. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to remove this, to move this light, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala catches will be burned. Subhanallah. That's how strong and powerful are the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this shows how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. Ya Allah. That shows how much Allah loves us, because you can just remove the thing and everyone will be burned. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah put hijab between him and his creation. And this is the hijab, Wallahu alam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was referring to in the hadith of Abu Dharr, when he says, did you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Qala nurun anna ara. He said, there was a light. How is it possible for me to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as that light exists? So this light exists because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards his creation. If he is to remove it, nothing will exist. You know. And that's why the poet says you would never look for the replacement, you know. For the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing that can replace this. Even if you are going to be given the whole dunya, wujud, you know, existence will be yours, wallahi will never be equal to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to have that. Because it leads you to the success in this dunya and the akhirah. You'll be protected here, and in the akhirah also you get the best from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to get this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How to be conformed as somebody who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is where the struggle lies. Everyone claims that who is that person who is truly loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah, especially in our time. La hawla quwwata illa billah. Yeah, because the qualification has only one way, you know, to it, which is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all circumstances blindly. Yeah, I repeat my word, blindly. Yeah, when it comes to Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you follow blindly. You don't say, I check and see first, you know, whether it is okay, it goes with aqal or not. No, as long as it is authentic, case closed. Case closed. This is Rabbul Alameen. Your aqal doesn't exist. Your thinking doesn't exist. You should have a belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever He says is the only correct one. It's the only one that has wisdom attached to it. Other than that, it's useless. It's batil. As the poet says, Ala kullu shay'in ma khala Allah batilun. Everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is falsehood. قال فصل كمال اللذة والفرح تابع لأمرين وها هنا أمر عظيم يجب على اللبيب الاعتناء به هو أن كمال اللذة والفرح والسرور ونعيم القلب وابتهاج الروح تابع لأمرين أحدهما كمال المحبوب في نفسه وجماله وأنه أولى بإثار المحبة من كل ما سواه والثاني كمال محبته واستفراغ الوسع في حبه وإيثار قربه والوصول إليه في على كل شيء. Ibn Qayyim says there's a new chapter that will talk about كمال اللذة والفرح. You know, the peak of enjoyment in this dunya and the happiness is based on two things. You know, in this dunya, the peak of happiness and success and enjoyment is based on two things. He says that is a very important thing that you have to understand. You know, you have to understand properly and take note on. هو أن كمال اللذة والفرح والسرور ونعيم القلب وابتهاج الروح تابع لأمرين. أحدهما كمال المحبوب في نفسه وجماله. Two things. One of them is that محبوب, the one that you love, you know, which takes you to the moment of happiness and success, that one has to be complete in itself. It must be the most completed one. You know, the most perfect and the most excellent. وَأَنَّهُ أَوْلَى بِإِثَارِ الْمَحَبَّةِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَا سِوَى. And he has to be the one who is the best and the most deserving, you know, of your love than anybody else. Yeah, by now you already understand who could possibly be that one. He has to be complete. Who is that person that is complete from every dimension, doesn't have any deficiency? Nobody except Rabbul Alameen. Nobody. Human beings, all of them from A to Z, they have some deficiencies in them. The only one who doesn't have deficiency is the creator of the human beings and the creator of everything. وَالْأَمْرُ الثَّانِي كَمَالُ مَحَبَّتِهِ. The mahabba, the love you have towards that one, has to be perfect. You have to perfect it. And you have to do everything possible to make sure that you perfect that mahabba. And you have to favor coming closer to him than anybody else. You want to be closer to some people, your wife, your husband, your children, your family, your king, you know, your university, your knowledge, or whatever his call is, you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to be on top of anyone and anybody. So these are the two things. One of them, the one that you love, if you want to attain the happiness in your love and the success, you must make sure that the one that you love has these two things. Is the most perfect one. And your love towards him should be the most perfect love. And you have to love him more than anybody else. Keep aside anything else except him. وكل عاقل يعلم أن اللذة بحصول المحبوب بحسب قوة محبته فكلما كانت المحبة أقوى كانت لذة المحبة أكمل ولذة من اشتد ظمأه بإدراك الماء الزلال ومن اشتد جوعه بأكل الطعام الشهي ونظائر ذلك على حسب شوقه وشدة إدراكه ومحبته. He says, you should know that, I mean, every عاقل, anyone who has common sense, he knows that, you know, the happiness is based on how much you need and how much mahabba you have. If your mahabba is strong, the stronger the mahabba is, the happiness you are. Yeah, if your mahabba to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stronger, your happiness also will be strong. If it is weak, your happiness also will be weak. You will lie. Try to link, you know, your success in this life to this, you know. How much closer you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much obedient you are. Try to connect this with that. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you will succeed because you will be trying to perfect it in every single moment of time. Ibn al-Qayyim says, this is just like two people who are hungry or thirsty. You know, one of them is not really thirsty and not really hungry. He can stay for one more day, you know, not really hungry. But if he can get food, he can eat. He will tap on. But the other one, maybe he spent like 3 days no food. If the food comes, who's going to be happier? Of course, the second one. Yeah. Ibn al-Qayyim says also, Mahabbatullah is just like that. Your mahabba is stronger. The shawq ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stronger. Your happiness to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and your happiness in this dunya also will be stronger. وَإِذَا أُرِفَ هَذَا فاللذة والسرور والفرح أمر مطلوب في نفسه بل هو مقصود كل حي وعاقل وإذا كانت اللذة مطلوبة لنفسها فهي تضم إذا أعقبت إذا أعقبت ألما أعظم منها وإن منعت لذة خيرا منها وأجل فكيف إذا أعقبت أعظم الحسرات وفوتت أعظم اللذات والمسرات وتحمد إذا أعانت على لذة عظيمة دائمة مستقرة لا تنغيص فيها ولا نكد بوجه ما وهي لذة الآخرة ونعيمها وطيب العيش فيها. قال الله تعالى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى. وقال السحرة فرعون لما آمنوا فاقضي ما أنت قاض إنما تقضي هذه الحياة الدنيا إنا آمنا بربنا ليغفر لنا خطايانا وما أكرهتنا عليه من السحر والله خير وأبقى. Ibn al-Qayyim says, if this is understood, وإذا عرف هذا فاللذة والسرور والفرح أمر مطلوب في نفسه. ladha wasuru, you know, enjoyment and happiness, both of them are a requirement in this life. You know, in themselves, you know, they are both requirement. Not as a wasila, but they are required as a goal. بَلْ هُوَ مَقْصُودُ كُلُّ عَقِلٍ. He says, anyone who has common sense and aql, what is he looking for in this dunya? Happiness. Yeah, and this is what we are not talking about. We're talking about the measurement of everything, you know, GDP and all of those things that they're talking about, the economist. But they forgot what makes a person happy in this dunya. What is the point of knowing how much the country is earning, how much the country is producing, if the people inside the country are depressed, uneducated? Nobody's talking about this. Yeah. And that's why we have to establish another separate system to cater for those one who are in need, which is based on kadhib and zur. Right? We're aiming for zero hunger on earth. Right? On the earth of those people are in the management. Yeah, and then tomorrow they will bring in the media, oh, that is hunger in Yemen, that is hunger in this and that, you know. What happened to that organization? What are they doing, you know? Stop all the criminality and the bad actions against human beings. Let human beings, you know, enjoy peace. If the government in every country, everyone will get busy. If they can agree to maintain cooperation, you know, what those kuffar don't agree, those Western community up to date, they don't want to agree. They just want everyone to be their slaves. Otherwise, what is wrong with you cooperating with others? You know, in business and tijara, we cooperate, we live together in a peace, you know. What's wrong with that? Why do other people need to be under your leadership, your control? Why can't you cooperate with them in tijara? They live in their country, you live in your country. You know, they mind their business, you mind yours. You know, you cooperate. What's wrong with that, you know? No, you have to be under the control. They have to watch you. They take everything from you. They leave you under that poverty. Create also calamity and civil war in the countries, you know, to make you busy with yourself so that they can get everything. This one, these are not my instruction. They said it by themselves, you know. They said it by themselves. And also history can confirm this. They never let us relax. So we have to understand this properly. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, بَلْ هُوَ مَقْصُودُ كُلُّ عَقِلٍ. Every single person, you know, is looking for what? Happiness. So as I was trying to say by bringing that thing, if they are going to focus on peace, that this is supposed to be the job of the authorities and the government. Justice, you know, to establish justice, to make sure that nobody is oppressed, and also to bring peace in the community. Wallahi, people will look for their earning by themselves. You don't need anyone. Yeah, as long as you are, you know that when you go out of your house, nobody will attack you, nobody will commit injustice against you, because that is a government to protect your right. People don't need anyone. Everyone will go and do, you know, it by himself. So people are looking for what? They're looking for happiness. Ibn al-Qayyim says, if the ladha, enjoyment, is a requirement in this life for you to succeed in this dunya, and this is what everyone is looking for, this enjoyment, تُذَمُّ إِذَا أَعْقَبَتْ أَلَامًا أَعْظَمْ. If the enjoyment, you know, result in you being in trouble in the future, you know, in pain, then it should be blameworthy. Yeah. The enjoyment that led to pain, right? Somebody commit zina. Did he enjoy? Yes, he did. He did enjoy. And what happens after that? The poet says, لا خير في لذة بعدها النار أو بعدها العار. After that, if he's married, he's going to receive stoning till death. And this is before the one that is awaiting him if he doesn't repent and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard. قال وإن منعت لذة خيرا منها وأجل. And also it should be blamed if it stopped you from getting the greater ladha. Yeah, you get riba, Do you enjoy? Yes, people enjoy in this dunya. They become rich from the riba. They become rich from gambling, rich from bribing, you know. There are some who says they don't touch their salaries. How do they survive? We don't know them to have a job, you know. They don't have private companies. But they're expert in taking bribe. So he enjoys, you know, and he is proud of this because he doesn't even touch his salary. But at the same time, this enjoyment is going to cause him to lose the greater enjoyment. So this enjoyment is supposed to be blamed. وَكَيْفَ إِذَا أَعْقَبَتْ أَعْظَمَ الْحَسَرَاتِ وَفَوَّتَتْ أَعْظَمَ اللَّذَّاتِ وَالْمَسَرَّاتِ. Is it even in this dunya, if you are going to take something which will cause you to lose something that is greater, everyone will blame you. Why do you choose this one? Why don't you wait and be patient to get the other one? Ibn al-Qayyim says, what do you think if a person is to do something that can cause him to lose the greatest ni'mah, which is the ni'mah of the akhirah? You Allah, because if you do all of these things that I have mentioned, you will lose the ni'mah of the akhirah. Although you get the ladha here in this dunya, but you lose the one in the akhirah. وَتُحْمَدُ اللَّذَّةِ إِذَا أَعَانَتْ عَلَى لَذَّةٍ عَظِيمَةٍ دَائِمَةٍ مُسْتَقِرَّةٍ لَا تَنْغِيصَ فِيهَا. And any enjoyment that helps you to get the bigger enjoyment, this one is praiseworthy. I think this one is very clear, right? Yeah, there are things which you enjoy doing, but at the end of the day, what do you get? You get better. Commit zina, you get punishment. In this dunya and also in the hereafter, if a person doesn't repent. You marry, do you enjoy marriage? Yes, although there are a lot of calamities also attached to it. But that's usually when a person doesn't do it in the correct way. Yeah, if you understand the secret of marriage, you will enjoy. You Allah. Yeah. But marriage is all about enjoyment, right? Yeah. Responsible marriage. Yeah, a person enjoy, and you enjoy the marriage, but in the hereafter, what do you get from Allah? You get more. Yeah, more enjoyment. Yeah, this marriage can grant you another enjoyment in the future, in the hereafter when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what Sharia is all about. And this enjoyment that is going to be given to you, it doesn't have end. No deficiency to it and no end to it. وَهِيَ لَذَّةُ الْآخِرَةُ وَنَعِيمُهَا وَطِيبُ الْعَيْشِ فِيهَا. You know, this is the ladha of the akhirah and the ni'mah in the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ تُوثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. Allah says, what is putting people into trouble is the ether of the hayat al-dunya. What is ether? Favor in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. At the same time, akhirah is the best. And the more lasting, you know, moment is the moment of the akhirah. The people, the sahara to Fir'aun, those magicians who came to Fir'aun, they said to Fir'aun, فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضٍ إِنَّمَا تَقْضِ هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They told him, do whatever you want. You know, Fir'aun says, I'm going to cut you. Cut your hands and cut your legs in different way. Meaning you will cut the right hand and left leg. They told him, do whatever you want. He said, I will crucify you and I will cut you in this way. They said, go ahead. SubhanAllah, that's iman, you know. They told him, go ahead. This is dunya. Dunya is going to finish and you're not doing anything except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed. He said, dunya is going to finish. And whatever you're doing is related to the dunya. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us is far greater. They said, إِنَّا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّنَا لِيَغْفِلَ لَنَا خَطَاءَنَا وَمَا أَكَرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّيَرِ. We don't worry about anything. As long as Allah accepts our faith and our iman, and we're doing this so that we will get the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Allah, we hope Allah will forgive us, you know, the sihr we did, which you forced us to be part of it. Wallahu khayrun wa abqa. They said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better for us. And is the one that remains, never perishing. Allah. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى خلق الخلق لينيلهم هذه اللذة الدائمة في دار الخلد وما هذه الدار فمنقطعة وأما هذه الدار فمنقطعة ولذاتها لا تصفو أبدا ولا تدوم بخلاف الآخرة إن لذاتها دائمة ونائمها خالص من كل كدر وألم وفيها ما تشتهي الأنفس وتلذ الأعين ما الخلود أبدا لا تعلم نفس ما أخفي لهم من ما أخفى الله لعباده فيها من قرة أعين بل فيها ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت ولا خطر على قلب بشر. وهذا المعنى الذي قصده الناصح لقومه يا قوم اتبعوني أهدكم سبيل الرشاد يا قوم إنما هذه الحياة الدنيا متاع وإن الآخرة هي دار القرار. فأخبرهم أن الدنيا متاع يستمتع بها إلى غيرها وأن الآخرة هي المستقرة. So Ibn Qayyim says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation so that they can get this ladha, this happiness. When? In the akhirah, when they meet him. As for this dunya, it will finish. And whatever is in this dunya also will finish. And any enjoyment you get in this dunya is not pure and clean. Ya Allah, give me one example of enjoyment in this dunya that is not attached to something bad with it. It doesn't exist. If you look at it properly with the eyes of basira, there is no enjoyment in this dunya which is pure and clean. Enjoyment of the dunya. And also la tadu. You know, the minimum evil you can have attached to this dunya is that it will finish. Yeah, it will finish. You're enjoying, but then now it goes. Or you finish and go away from it. So it's still finish in your case. This is contrary to the akhirah. Because the ni'mah of the akhirah doesn't end. And not only that, the ni'mah of the akhirah is pure and clean. Doesn't have any problem with it. No pain, no deficiency, no worried. And you have endless ni'mah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِهِ الْأَنفُسِ Whatever you desire, you get it. Which life is like this? You Allah, even the kings, not whatever they desire, they get it. وَتَلَذُّ الْأَعْيُنِ And also whatever your eyes enjoy seeing, you find it in akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just wait. Because you don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hiding for you of those things that will grant you satisfaction. They will make you satisfied. بَلْ فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنُ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ In Jannah, you find things which no eyes ever witnessed. And no ears ever heard of them. You get it? And also, no heart ever thought of them. SubhanAllah. Only in Jannah you have this. That's why that righteous person who is part of the Ali Fir'aun, when he accepted Musa alayhi salam, he told him, Ya Qawmi, ittabi'uni ahdikum sabila rashad. He said, people, follow me. Accept what I'm telling you. Because I'm going to guide you to the best way, the way of guidance. Ya Qawmi, innama hadhi alhayatu dunya mata'a. Wa inna al-akhirata hiya darul qarar. He told them, people, you have to know that life of this dunya is just nothing except simple enjoyment. And this enjoyment will finish. Allah says, مَتَاعٌ قَلِيلٌ ثُمَّ مَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَإِنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ And Akhirah is the دَارُ الْقَرَارِ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ means the place of eternity, the place where life will never end. You will not finish, you will not age, and whatever Allah wants to grant you in that place will not finish, will not perish. You will keep on having it as you like. You want that one to remain, you see that one. You want new one to come, every single second Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what to give. Forever and ever. And nothing is going to be repeated. This is Rabbul Alameen. Yeah, he has everything you need. Everything you imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, and he put it in that house. All that you have to do is to please him. So that you can get that ni'mah. Not to favor the dunya and favor the akhirah and get that ni'mah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ الدُّنْيَا مَتَاءُ يُسْتَمْتَعُ بِهَا إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهَا وَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ هِيَ الْمُسْتَقِرَّةَ So he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that dunya is just mata, enjoyment. You know, you just use it to take you to something else. You know, it doesn't remain. آخِرَةَ هِيَ دَارُ الْقَرَارِ المستقبل. Yeah, the one that remains is the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. And tawfiq in this dunya and the akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So we will continue with that with dawa, inshaAllah. Even in Ramadan, if we have in Ramadan, do we have classes? We think about that, inshaAllah. Inshallah. Yeah, we will have this. Iblugu Malam. Yeah, now.
Was a time where there was only Allah, and there will again be a time where there is only Allah. We said this earlier, so can you explain this opinion?
You call it opinion. Say the statement. Because there is no second opinion. There should be only one. Yeah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein, he said, "Kana Allah wa lam yakun shay'un qabla." There is to be a time where there is nothing in existence except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ قَبْلَهُ. There was nothing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَتَبَ فِي الذِّكْرِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And he wrote everything in Lawhul Mahfuz. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And his arsh was on the water. That's the reason why some scholars said arsh is the first thing to be created. Some of them said water. Some of them said al-qalam. Yeah, I have two different opinions here. But the two greatest opinions concerning this matter is the one that says either the water, either the arsh or the pen. Yeah, the hadith says the first thing created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the pen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rahman, he says, "Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha." Everything is going to perish except the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that means the same way it began, nobody was there, nothing exists except him. There's going to be a time also life will cease except his life. That's why he called himself in Surah Al-Hadid, Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. He's the first, and he's the last. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani says, "Huwa al-awwal, wa laysa li-awwaliyatihi ibtida." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Huwa al-awwal, wa laysa qablahu shay." He's the first, and there was nobody before him. And he's going to be the last, and there will be nobody after him. Meaning after him, it doesn't mean he's going to finish. No, it means everyone's going to finish, and he will be the last, and remains like this. The case will not be like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will finish wal-iyadhu billah and then some people remain or somebody remains. No. There is going to be a time when everyone will be gone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. So Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani says, "Huwa al-awwal wa laysa li-awwaliyatihi ibtida." He's the first. And his being first doesn't have beginning. You get the idea? Because he cannot be awwal if you say that he has a beginning. Do you get the idea? هو الأول وليس لأولية ابتداء والآخر وليس لآخريته انتهاء. He's the last, and there is no end for him being the last. Yeah, so this is what it means. And we just stop here. Yeah.
I thought the explanation was that everything that is created must taste death.
Yeah, that's another ayah.
But such as the humans and the jinn, we will be resurrected, and then Jannah is forever, forever and ever.
I know. That's بِجَعْلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِيَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it like that. House without inhabitants, what is the house? Mm. You get the idea? That's why some said every life will cease. إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep. To keep. But who are these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are these things, who are this creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep? Are they the souls? You know, as some people might say, are they the Hur al-Ain, or Wilyan al-Mukhalladun, or Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, or Angel of Death, or Jibreel alone? You know, all of these are statements that some scholars might be saying, you know. Al-Qurtubi says, it doesn't make sense to waste time here, because we are sure that we are not part of them. So, who is going to be? He says, Allahu Alam. That's it. Allah says, Illa man sha'a Allah, except those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish. So he's the one who is making them like this. But by nature, they are something that perishes. Do you get the idea? If you look at their nature, they are something that perishes. Whether they perish now or they don't perish now, they perish whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to perish, or He make them in the way He will not cause them to perish, but He's the one who's holding that for them. So it doesn't change the reality that He's the only one who remains. Mm. Yeah, because that attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the quality, nobody has it except Him, al-baqa. As the Arab says, al-baqa'u lillahi wahdahu. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains. So Jannah and hell, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them, and He make them as something that has beginning, and He doesn't want to end them. Do you get the idea? Not like they have the nature of not ending. Oh. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who make them, and He doesn't want to end them. He said, I will not end them. So they will remain like this. But naturally, they have a beginning, they have also end. You get it? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let them remain forever and ever. Yeah. So laysa kullu shay'in dha'iqatul maut, anything that has soul is going to taste death one day. Take an idea. And in that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kullu shay'in halikun illa wajha. Everything is going to perish except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know. So Allahu alam.
Three questions.
Good gift.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Some people, they don't have much knowledge and do not learn much, but they are really obedient to Allah. So what is the reason there are some people who go to classes or dars, but quite a challenge to be truly obedient? Can Shaykh please share some thoughts on this situation and some advice?
They go to classes, they listen to the reminders, and they're not obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu alam. Yeah. Wallahu alam. Anyway, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based on willingness that comes from a person. You know? My advice to those people is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iwallah. They need to do that. Because as we say earlier, that is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make a person obedient. There's so many people who are thinking of doing, but they don't want to have the courage to come and do it. So what to do in this regard is to repent a lot. And a person to push himself and to make sure that the people around him are good. Yeah, hang around with the righteous people, the good ones, and repent a lot. Even light Allah, this will be gone, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Shaykh. Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to perform liver transplant surgeries where only a part of the liver of the donor is taken and it grows back again after a few months?
Yeah, inshallah, it's okay. They said liver and the blood, these ones could be transferred. You can transplant them, you know, move them from body of another person to, because that one is going to get it back again. Yeah. Other than that, no. According to the best opinion of the scholars, no. The mafasid that are related to it are greater than any maslaha that somebody might imagine. You know.
Someone is dying, but you can retrieve his organs intact and they can be given to other people to save their lives. This
we
is
don't.
This is not halal.
No, we don't. They said even if a person, before he dies, he commanded people to take some part of him to give it to another person, this wasiyah shouldn't be executed, according to the best opinion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَ. He caused him to die and he put him to the ground, he buried him. They ask Ibn Baz about this, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respected human beings, as he says, he dies and we put him to the ground. It's a very critical moment, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yahfadana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not put us into this moment. But the truth that I believe in is that we don't. A dead body, when a person dies, has to be taken to the grave. We don't take any part of him for any purpose. You know.
If a person is dying, wouldn't it be a case of darura for him?
Yeah. In a case of darura, you don't do everything.
To give or take.
In the case of the Rura, I don't do anything. I know if I don't kill this Muhammad, I will die.
No, it's not killing. Someone is already dead.
just continue to understand that darura, you don't do everything.
Mm.
If I don't kill this person,
yeah, because all lives are equal.
Yeah. But so darura doesn't justify it.
But this is someone who's already dead. It's not someone who will die.
Yeah. So this person is dead, and this person will die. How do I know he will die?
I mean, it's apparent.
How do I know? Ibn Hazm says it is a consensus of the scholars that if you are in a state of darura, you're not allowed to cut off some part of you to survive. Even yourself, to cut your hand, your finger to eat so that you can live. He says, no. Scholars unanimously reject this. So if you are not allowed to take it to survive, how is it possible for us to give it to somebody? However, to make you happy, there are some scholars who believe that if somebody is already dead and there is somebody who will die, if he doesn't eat something, if he thinks he can eat... that's something else. You know, if you go to the kuffar, there are some scholars who say even kuffar, human beings, they should be taken to that place. But there are some who said kuffar don't have that. What you call respect by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that therefore when somebody eats from their flesh, it's okay. Even for educational purpose, they said the body, if he said after I die, take my body to the hospital for educational purpose, some scholars said it could be done because he doesn't have hurm. Other scholars said no, human beings in general, when they die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes us to just go and keep them in that place. You shouldn't take them for anything. Some scholars said if we are to do it, then we go with the other body, but not the body of a Muslim. That one is highly respected, shouldn't be touched. One of the scholars said, if you were doing this, that means the way we distribute the inheritance, also we're going to distribute also. Yeah, his eyes is taken to this person. His, yeah. Anyway, finish the questions. My computer is about to die.
Last question.
Yes, question.
And if so, can we give zakah money to someone who urgently needs to perform this surgery but isn't able to afford some of the expenses involved?
Yes, whatever is halal of medication, you can give zakah to that person to address that if he doesn't have money to do it. You know. Finish? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته